The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Okay, we have coming up one of our favorite analysts. In fact, Peggy always gets a big smile on her face when we bring this gentleman on.
He's terrific.
Yes, he is terrific. And so we're looking forward to having you on the show. We've got with us today Mr. Jack Ablin. Jack is Executive Vice President and Chief Investment Officer of BMO Wealth Management. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Are you in Florida? Are you in Chicago?
I'm in Florida.
Oh, it's nice there.
See, I just knew you were a smart guy, Jack. So I was I was hoping you were going to say that. All right. Now, you have been prolific here lately. I've been reading up on all your stuff. And so I'm going to start out with a sentence that you started out on your November 15th market update. It's time for the market to figure out the implications of a Trump presidency. What do you think about a Trump? What do you think about the election, and what do you think is going to happen here?
Well, I think that Trump has a lot of promises he has to fulfill, and some of them will come true, and some will be disappointments. But I think certainly, as you saw by the quick reaction in the market, investors are taking a glass half full approach to a Trump presidency. And when you align a lot of the proposals that President-elect Trump has against Paul Ryan and the Republican ideas, there is a fair amount of alignment, particularly in tax cuts.
Well, now, I could see where he might line up with Paul Ryan, but now Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi might be a little different. Do you think the Democrats have enough clout to keep Trump from getting through many of the things he'd like to pass?
Based on what I'm seeing in market reaction and, you know, how banks have pretty much done a 180, I would say no. I think that the Republicans have a majority, and I think for most of what they need to do, they're just looking for a simple majority. And then also, if you consider that a lot of what candidate Trump promised during the campaign season, the Democrats are going to fall into alignment. He wants to strengthen entitlements. He wants to, create projects and build some infrastructure. So I think that he could probably use some of those bargaining chips perhaps to help cajole Democrats to, push through the tax cuts and regulatory rollbacks maybe.
Yeah. In fact, speaking of the tax cut, Jack, as an economist, do you think that they're – I kind of hate to say this, but do you think they're a good idea? I mean, we're about to pass $20 trillion in debt. And, as much as I would love to have a tax cut, I'm just beginning to think that, maybe this is not a good idea because you got to pay in the money somewhere.
That's interesting. Coming from a guy from Texas. Well, first of all, let me just stop you. I'm not an economist. I did study economics. I will say that. I tried to take economics in college. I couldn't understand a word that the people were saying. And my conclusion is if they teach sex in this country the way they teach economics, we'd be extinct. So I don't think economics is all that complicated, but for some reason the economics professors need to make it more complicated than it is. But the fact is, you're right. I do think that a lot of the proposals, if you add them all up and put a line under it and then total them, end up with trillion-dollar deficits. So there is going to be some pushback. I don't know where it's going to come from. It could come from some of the Republicans. It could come, and this is what I wrote yesterday, it could come from the bond market itself. If you remember 1993 to 1995, bond market vigilantes came into the market and pushed the Clinton administration away from their deficit programs. In fact, they made a 180, and they ended up with a surplus. And in fact, it prompted James Carville, who was an advisor to Clinton at the time, to say when he comes back in life, he wants to be the bond market because he can intimidate everybody.
Yeah, that's right. I remember reading that you wrote that. I thought that was pretty funny. He said, you wrote that if I used to think if there were reincarnation, I would have come back as president or pope. or a 400 baseball hitter, but now I'd like to come back because the bond market, you can intimidate everybody. You know, speaking of concerns, you know, Alan Greenspan, you know, yesterday, I'm sure you noted, was the 20-year anniversary of the irrational exuberance speech by Greenspan, and they asked him in an interview what his concern is now, because obviously back then it was stocks, and he said it was the bond market, that his concern was what would happen as interest rates rise. Now, certainly they're probably going to do so. There's anywhere from a 94.5% to a 98% probability from the folks that are throwing out numbers right now that the Fed is going to increase rates this month. What are your thoughts on interest rates? Is that a concern of yours?
Yeah, the interest rates for years have been in this, you know, secular decline. They're obviously historic lows around the globe, largely because, you know, savers and companies are not plowing this money into investments. What they're doing is they're hoarding cash, they're saving money. You know, no one's really, in general, wanting to stick their necks out and make big investments. So that's hurting. It's keeping interest rates low, certainly. And then the central banks and the other, you know, other intervention isn't helping matters, obviously. But it's also keeping a lid on productivity. And that's really one of the key ingredients of our prosperity. And we really do need productivity to expand in order to grow our economy without inflation.
And so do you think, I mean, you're talking to your clients, and you obviously you have very sophisticated clients, but do you think the average man on the street is prepared for the impact of interest rates going up? I don't think a lot of them who are holding long-term bond funds, for instance, have any concept of what will happen if rates were to continue to move up, you know, every year, two or three clicks.
Yeah, and this is where I see sort of, in my mind, something I have to reconcile. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to play out. But, you know, is it good for stocks? Is it bad for stocks? I mean, the fact is that as rates rise, what will eventually happen, the good news is you could see this tidal wave of money moving from bond market into stock market as everyone's trying to abandon the, you know, the leaky boat. And so that should be positive for stocks as this money flows in. On the other hand, you can look at the stock market and say, you know, anyone who is bullish on stocks at current valuations is using the bond market as a lens to look through to say, look, relative to bonds, stocks are cheap. Problem is, as rates rise, that advantage that stocks have had starts to diminish. And so it's a fine balance. I do think that stocks end up net ahead. I think that we can continue to plow forward because we are going to see fundamentals like revenues and earnings improve, if nothing else, just because taxes are going to come down and regulations are going to peel back. But so I think stocks end up fine. But as rates rise, you know, the competition for, you know, financial assets, you know, makes them more attractive.
Okay. All right. So, in fact, I'll wait till the next segment because I want to get into what you think of the market going forward and segments of areas for people to invest. I wanted to ask you, though, still staying on Trump, just one last question. You know, it looks to me like he's getting pushback already from folks regarding infrastructure, and you would think that infrastructure spending would be a great place to start. Now, I've run us into the break, Jack, so I'll give you some time to think about that. We'll cover that on the side of the break. Stay with us, folks. We've got Jack Avalon with us today for BMO Management. We'll be back in just a few moments.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We've got with us today Mr. Jack Avalon. Jack is Executive Vice President and Chief Investment Officer of one of the most prominent wealth management firms in the country, BMO Wealth Management. We're pleased to have him on. Jack, just before the break, I kind of fumbled through it, but what I'm really looking for from you is some guidance. Since you are an investment officer and a strategist for BMO, obviously you're kind of discussing with your clients where to go. And I think the average consumer, now, of course, BMO doesn't deal with the average consumer, but the average consumer is a little confused because just before the election, people were constantly saying, hey, this market is overvalued, this market is overvalued, this market's overvalued. And, of course, Donald Trump gets elected and the market goes to all-time highs. The Dow's up 1,200 points. And, you know, people are saying, okay, I thought it was overvalued back there at 17.9, and now at 19.4, everybody's telling me it's time to get in. And, in fact, every single day, I've noticed in the last week or so, every single day I can pick up an article that says the Dow's overpriced, and I can also pick up an article that says there's an opportunity going forward. What are you telling your folks right now about what you think the Dow offers, or Dow and the S&P offer over the next, you know, next year or so?
Sure. It's a great question, one that, you know, keeps me awake at night, certainly. You're right. You know, on the surface, these markets do look expensive, but keep in mind, it's price to earnings, price to sales. It's always price relative to some fundamental piece of information. And so part of the enthusiasm that investors are throwing into the market really has to do with that denominator of the equation, that perhaps the price is going up because they expect the earnings or the revenues, you know, to move up faster. And, you know, if you do, again, throw tax cuts at everybody and roll back regulations, guess what? Even if your top-line revenue doesn't change very much, your profit's going to increase just because you don't have the, you know, level of compliance that you had before. Or, you know, you're not paying out as much to the government as you did before. So I think that's part of what's going on. I think the other is, keep in mind, and this is that rotation piece that I talked about earlier, that the market, let's say, and I can't remember, but round numbers, the market value of the equity market's up $1 trillion, let's say, over the last month. But keep in mind, the value of the bond market is off about $1 trillion. So it isn't like we're creating, you know, a broader investment values. It's what we're seeing is a rotation. Money's moving out of bonds and into stocks, and we're seeing, you know, we're seeing that from the big picture. So I think that's what's going on. You know, whether the market's expensive, yeah, I think at the highest level it is. But keep in mind, the market last year moved on, what, five or six stocks by themselves. Now those stocks are trailing, right? Those stocks are actually trailing the other markets. And many of the forgotten markets, the small caps, the mid caps, the average company in the S&P trailed the S&P last year. And so maybe now that it's time for them to get their comeuppance.
And you're right, the small caps seem to be on fire lately. Do you think that it's going to continue?
Well, I think there's, you know, I would say small and mid, certainly mid. Mid is at least cheaper than small and large together. So I like mid cap. But the one thing that people really love about small cap are the improving fundamentals. And there are really two things going on with small caps. One is if we do get this America First type priority, which I think we will. I mean, we've already seen that in some actions in President-elect Trump's movement, you know, with the carrier air conditioners and some of the tweets and other things. So he's definitely focusing on the U.S. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, small and mid-cap companies generally do most of their business here at home. So that's one element that's helping. The other is these taxes, corporate tax rollbacks. You know, the largest companies, whether they're, you know, Google or Apple or Pfizer or these other, you know, big pharma companies, they don't pay much in taxes because they're sending their profits to Ireland, to Hong Kong, to other places that don't have a very high corporate tax rate. Well, if we start to level the playing field on taxes, you know, we have the highest corporate tax rate in the world, Mike. If we Right. lower that down and flatten it out, who wins? These companies, these small companies that are doing all of their business here at home, or a Walmart, or, you know, retailers or others that are paying that 35% tax, that maybe if that gets down, knocks down to 20, they're going to be big beneficiaries. But the fact is Apple, you know, Microsoft, these other companies, they're paying, you know, 5% taxes effectively because of this international accounting game. So I think they end up becoming net losers. So mega cap companies generally going to lose, the smaller mid caps generally going to win. And so what you could see is that the valuation ratios of, you know, a cap weighted index like the S&P could come down, but you could see a rally nonetheless of the average stock. So that's sort of where we're focused. We like the small and mid, and we're trying to shy away from the mega companies.
Okay. And do you think that Trump's threats on trade will have a dampening impact on just the whole economy as a whole in the markets? I mean, there's a lot of fear there about what he could do to trade.
It's a risk. It's a risk, and I don't think it's fully accounted for in the market right now. You know, the fact that he's taking phone calls from the president of Taiwan, or calling them the president of Taiwan, not what we've historically called the leadership. So I think there's certainly he's ruffling feathers already internationally. Whether that spills over to trade, it probably could. And it's a risk because, you know, as we talked about this global supply chain, this integrated production that goes on all over the world, has really been kind of put in place over the last 20 or 30 years. Look at a company like GE. GE has positioned itself to be a global player, to manufacture products in the cheapest ways they can, to sell products in markets where they think there are opportunities. And they pretty much, I don't want to say they've turned their back on the United States, but they've definitely, it has not been our priority, their priority. They're focused on the emerging world where the growth is. And, you know, a couple of, presidential line items could upset that whole apple cart.
Yeah, he has a way of shooting first before he aims. Is that a concern of yours? I was going to ask you, in closing, whether or not there was something that really concerned you about the landscape going forward. Would that be your concern? You seem to be a little concerned.
Yeah, so I would say, we'll call it, for lack of a better way, call it presidential event risk, headline risk.
Okay.
I think that, there could be something like that. And it's hard, and he's not someone that would necessarily backtrack easily if he made a mistake.
You're right. Yeah, I could hear a little concern in your voice. I love that, Jack. I always talk about event risk, the one thing that you really can't quantify and completely protect yourself against. And we have something unique, presidential event risk.
Now I'm going to be losing sleep for something else. Thanks, Mike.
Well, that goes down. You're giving us something different than irrational exuberance, so I think I like that a lot. Jack, I hope you and your family.
We said it here.
Thank you so much for being with us, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, sir.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.